Bloodshot Bill, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Podcasts get made locally at WGXC.org, as all WGXC's locally produced programs can be subscribed to and found in all the usual podcasting places. Tune in for a mind-expanding radio from local news to a travel
world of
sound.
Nadia, can you hear me?
Either live at 90.7 FM or anytime.
Sadia, sorry, Sadia, can you hear me? I can hear you.
As 2025 comes to a close and we move into 2026,
we're
expanding the WGXC Catskill Studio, and we need your support. Help us grow this space in the coming year for community programming, workshops, in-studio performances, and more. Your donation to Wave Farms WGXC, Radio for Open Ears, contributes to the expansion of community radio on air, online, and on Main Street. Go to WGXC.org/donate now to make your contribution. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your support.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Marie of Catskill, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Recording in progress.
Ever since, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. Up there beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie. Somebody keep telling me don't.
Oh, are you talking to me?
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Good evening. Thank you for joining. I am Kimberly Irwin, your host of Race Talks on WGXC 90.7 FM, here every third Tuesday of the month from about 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. is where we have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. And people always ask me, still, why talk about race, Kim? You may ask that too, and my answer is always going to be simply to combat racism. It is very important that we continue the conversation, especially here on Race Talks, where
no topic is taboo.
Okay, I think I hear one voice less. We're going to try to get make sure we hear another voice, and that would be of our guest talker today. We actually have one, so we want to make sure we do a quick mic check on her right now while I tell you who you just was listening to. I wonder if you had an opportunity ever to listen to that song in the past. A change is gonna come, and I wanted to play Sam Cooke's Soulful Invocation because it's that of hope and transformation, and that's exactly what our show is about today. It's about celebrating what we are doing right now and not waiting for the celebration, because we do have a few days or a week or so, depending on what type of celebration you're into. Some people are celebrating right now, have been celebrating for a few days, in fact. So we want to keep up that flow. Now, I guess the flow is a holiday celebration. And our theme, it's to really be motivated, not just for one another, like I said, for the moment, but for all that is that we see that or that we don't see. So for our talk term, I have listed soul codes. Not that it's soul music or being soul in any other idea of the word, except to know that it's that we are here, that we are being, and that's really what it's about. But again, I'm going to give you maybe the dictionary definition, but the real person who's going to inform you is our guest talker today, who I might add, you may have just heard her voice, but if not, you get to hear a lot more of her. What else are we having? This is the time of the season that we ask our wonderful listeners to participate and join us in helping keep the WGXC 90.7 FM family alive and afloat. So we, of course, have Garrett Roche of the Roche Solid Truth, who's
absolutely
also
thank
our
you, Kimberly.
Positivity producer for the evening, to join in right now to let you know just how you can celebrate early by giving a wonderful donation to the station. He's going to give you that information. And one most important thing is we're doing call-ins today. We're going to give you that number way in advance,
for sure.
But we're going to ask you not to call in until we tell you when, because if you call in while we're still speaking, then we can't speak. And we want to make sure you know what the topic is and get the timbre of the situation. And then maybe during roundtable, our guest talker may decide to stay if you're nice to us and actually share with you some of what she does to make people feel comfortable in their own spaces. So, okay, why don't you start it, Garrett? Welcome, and thank you for being here and helping us out today. And share with the audience just how they can be participants and help us out.
So welcome, Kimberly, and endless thanks for having you as having me, rather, as your producer. And here we go. Straight up, let's have it. Please, please. If you wish to keep the positivity, the unity going, WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org, a Wave Farm enterprise, let's wave to Wave Farm. Let's have for our year-end pledge drive, our goal is to reach $10,000, if you will, please, because we are expanding our studio space here in Catskill, New York, and pledgers can do so by calling area code 518-622-2598 and pressing option 2. Again, that's area code 518-622-2598 and pressing option 2. There's also the option, of course, going on WGXC.org and clicking the listen button up in the top left-hand corner. The red button that says, donate, the red donate button. So WGXC.org, or just go WGXC.org/donate. and you click that red button in the top left-hand corner. And then there is the old-fashioned snail mail option as well. It's WGXC, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, ACRA, that's A-C-R-A, New York, 12405. So let's keep this community going, building our studio, expanding the space, and not just being talking heads or just playing music. Talking and music is beautiful, but let's have actions in the community. Let's have events happen. Let's have gatherings, etc.
Okay, so that's great. Thank you for sharing. And
you're welcome,
again, Kimberly. You're going to give us that number later
to call
it. Don't worry if you're in the car or, you know, you're home chilling right now and you're like, I should have gotten a number. We're going to give that to you two more times. So be ready. So again, I think it's time for the next segment, or I should say our first segment. And I want to give you a quote that really would put us in the mood. Because, you know, it's called, well, we don't really call it quotes here. We call them words of wisdom. So sometimes my guests share with me various names of people that they recognize and they feel really comfortable having their words being in their head to make them feel good or to give to help them when they are in transition. So I'm going to, I hope I don't get this name wrong, but so the first wow is, the simple answer to why I started writing poetry is that I have a lot of feelings and I needed somewhere to put them. And that's really what we're going to be focused on today, or I should say for the hour, is our feelings. And that was Amara Shud. And I'm feeling really comfortable right now. I have to tell the listeners that we had a moment where the station in Catskill just shut down on us because, of course, of human error. And we got up and running because we had to be here for this show. And I don't want to talk all day about Sadia. Let me share with you a little bit about her. I mean, I think the wavefarm.org's website really says all you need to know about Sadia. So I will give you an introduction of her by that, by reading what was written there about her. But for real, she'll tell you a little bit more about herself, too. So we ask that you tune in to hear Sadia's perspective on soul codes, because it's a spiritual concept describing the unique blueprint, the inner essence and gifts that each person carries into the world. So now you know why I wanted to give you that words of wisdom. And if you wonder how soul codes work, all you have to do is listen in, because she's going to bring coherence and clarity to you, offering a restorative lens for everyone who is near and hearing my voice. And normally Sadia really shares this with women, because not just by because she's a woman, but women, I think all men know this, that women have a special soul feelings to the universe. It's like we get certain feelings that men just say, I don't get it. Garrett is like, exactly. Laughing. Your mom was like that, Garrett, right? Because I remember
for
we
sure.
Have a lot of conversations about
thank
your
you,
mom.
Kimberly.
And I know my mom has shared with me some of the things that happened that I thought was doo-doo-doo-doo. You know, like, that can't be real, you know, real truth. But then it started happening to me, too. So I had an opportunity of doing a one-on-one briefly with Sadia. And my goodness, all these feelings that I had that I didn't have the words for, because we don't learn them in school. And even though parents may have them and have feelings about it, they don't really know how to share them, because there's no words that you normally learn in school. So one thing I love about Sadia is that she really puts the words to many things that I'm feeling that I can't express. And as a former English teacher, I can't believe I don't have the language for it. I don't have the terminology for it. But again, I think when you listen to her, not only describe soul codes, but many other things that are momentous, and some of you might have a chance to even actually, you know, converse with her one-on-one here on the show, if we have time, you'd also find that this is an awesome opportunity for you to get into the spirit, not just the spirit of Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever other holiday you're experiencing, but really of the world.
Happy know? Every day.
Yes. More than every day. You know, every moment. Every right. moment. Because we live moment to moment. So.
Indeed, Kimberly.
Okay. So also, you're going to listen to Whitney Houston's later, Higher Love. And, you know, love is just what we need a lot of.
Yes.
A lot more of in life. And I think that's all I'm going to say right now before introducing the optimization coach, the energetic healer, the spiritual guide and transitional mentor for all of us right now, today, this moment. Yay! I'm asking Sadia Hamid to please join us on air live and share with us and the listeners a little bit more about yourself, whatever you'd like for us to know. And yeah, just why it's a great time for you right now to be on Race Talks with us.
Absolutely. Hi, Kimberly. Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I am so delighted to be able to talk to your audiences, especially at this time of year, as we're in the holiday season. It's a time that can get so busy. I am a mom of two beautiful kids who are in elementary school, and so I know how busy this time of year can get, especially for working parents. So for all of you working moms and dads out there, I hear you, I feel you, and I know that this time can be so much about giving, about really being present for other people, for your families, for your kids, for your loved ones. But I want to talk today about why it's so important for you to really be present with yourself and what importance that has. And so Kimberly talked a little bit about this concept of soul codes. And before I go there, I want to say that I worked for 25 years in the nonprofit and philanthropic sector, and it was a beautiful, wonderful, fulfilling career. And it also burnt me all the way out. I realized that showing up day in and day out to be present, to ease other people's suffering without actually understanding what I needed to be rested and fulfilled and well was a recipe for disaster. And I shared with Kimberly a few days ago that I didn't just burn out once. I burned out quite a few times. And each time I came back more resilient than ever. But I discovered something on this journey that was really important. And it's something that Kimberly alluded to when she gave us that beautiful quote that she mentioned, which is all about this idea of our feeling and our state of being. And the truth is that for most of us, especially as we come to the end of the year, we start entering into spaces of rest and reflection. We start writing all those New Year's resolutions of everything we're going to do and strive towards for the new year. One of the most important things here that I call on all of you to really think about is, how do you really want to feel? What do you want every day and every moment of the day to feel like? What's the state of being that would make you feel like you're fully alive, that you're optimizing your life and you're really chasing your purpose? And that's what I'm really here to delve into a little bit more today. So that feeling and that state of being is actually something we choose moment to moment. But so often we're caught up in these cycles where we are striving towards performance standards that we didn't set for ourselves. We're stuck in what I call the hustle burnout loop. But when you pause this loop for just a moment and allow yourself to slow down, you can actually start tapping into something inside you, an inner conversation, an inner wisdom that is there to guide you and to help you understand what it is that you can be doing to really come into a state of being that would allow you to feel really great every day. And I know that that might seem far-fetched. I know that might seem out of reach for a lot of people. But the truth is that it is attainable. I have the absolute privilege of being able to live in this state of being every day now. But it wasn't always that way. It wasn't so long ago that I was completely burnt out and really needed to do a hard reset on my life. And now I have the opportunity to guide so many others on how they can bring that harmony to their life, where they can really have everything they want, but actually feel great while they're doing it. So maybe some of the ways
and tie it back into what's happening right now, especially in the holiday period.
My guess is that I would have talked to a couple of working dads out there that I would be hearing perhaps
you're not alone if you're feeling them. And also, it's not your fault if you're feeling them. We have become accustomed to living in these cycles where we are filling up every single moment and really making our life almost like it feels like a workload and a workflow. But the truth is that we can create so much more spaciousness and ability in our life if we just actually give ourselves the opportunity to do that.
Thank you. Sadia, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, awesome. I saw that you were, I can see you very well. I just thought you were looking to see to your phone to see if you were hearing yourself. So I just wanted to make sure you're able to hear everything.
Yes, I was doing that just to make sure that I could hear myself so that I knew that the audience could hear me.
Oh, okay. I just, you know, like I said, we had some station issues earlier, and I just wanted to make sure that you weren't experiencing them right now. And I just love that you mentioned what you did. But I think there was something else that we had conversed about that I kind of want to, you know, ask you about now, and then maybe we can chat about some other things that you know, and build upon what you were saying. One of the things about what make you, what, in my opinion, what made you so special was that your family, you told me a story about your family who transitioned from one country to another, and how very difficult it was to have them experience that. And so I think when we did speak, we talked about how you come, you know, trauma or, you know, some form of it connects with us through generations, and that
we're talking about generational suffering and the fact that we carry it in us.
Right.
So part of what I was telling the audience about why they might feel so stressed out and overwhelmed now, it sounds like a really superficial issue, but it's not, and it's not anybody's fault, because the truth is that many of us are running a programming that has a sense of struggle and suffering that's embedded in it. And that is something that can carry with us through generations. So it's not just something that we learn through our conditioning when we're young, which we do, but it's actually something that carries with us through our lineage and through our ancestry. And so for many people, not just myself, whose families lived through some extraordinary world events and experiences, that memory of those experiences that they went through can actually be passed down from generation to generation. The truth, though, is that there is a way for us to be able to honor that legacy and to commemorate it without keeping the suffering and the struggle piece of it. At any moment, we can actually decide that we feel ready to release that part of things. And that's where the concept of soul codes actually really comes in, because we're not here by chance. We're all here because we chose to be incarnated in this lifetime at this particular moment in time. And we came with a coding in us about a destiny and a purpose that we're here for. This is why when you talk to young kids and you ask them what they want to be, sometimes they'll tell you the most brilliant and fantastical things. This is why you can hit midlife and say, I've had an amazing career, but oh my gosh, isn't there more meant for me out there in life? And that's not because anyone's having a crisis. That's because you're starting to remember. You're starting to reconnect to something that's deep inside you that says you're here to do something really brilliant and magnificent, and you want to start living into that. The thing is that when you also carry the memory of trauma and suffering, it's almost akin to wearing multiple lead vests or having an anchor tied to your ankles, right? It's really hard for you to move in the direction of all of your dreams if you're being weighed down by something invisible. Oftentimes we don't even know what it is. I'm in my early 40s, and it's only at this stage of my life that my mother has even started to recount stories from her very, very early childhood. when so many of those events took place. And so I have this understanding now of things that I might be sensing or feeling in my body and my being that are so much bigger and deeper than myself, and they go so much further back. And there is a part of me that absolutely wants to honor their memory and ensure that that always stays alive. And there's another part of me that also knows that I can do that without keeping the struggle. And that's exactly what my journey over the last few months has been about.
And I love how you said your journey, because that is the key, right? That we don't stay in place, not at any time of our lives do we stay in one place. The next word of wisdom is being uncomfortable isn't suffering. I wonder who said that.
I'm not sure, but I agree with them.
No, Sadia, yeah. You said it to me.
I said it to you. I'm joking.
I was taking down notes and I said, I like that idea. And I know it sounds negative, but actually it was a very positive statement, because I think sometimes, I know I do, I'll speak just for myself right now. When I think of that idea, I think I tend to want to live to be comfortable.
Well, most of us do. And again, that's a perfectly normal state of being, because all of our programming that we developed when we were little, before the age of 3 usually, was designed to allow us to survive. And survival at that early stage meant having so many of our needs met by our caregivers, by our community, by the people around us. We weren't actually able to do that for ourselves. As we grow older, a lot of those patterns and those programmings are already embedded in our subconscious now. And so they're running a loop, and they're basically the autopilot that's running our life, much like our heart knows how to breathe, how to beat, and our blood knows how to move through our body. And all of those things are happening on autopilot. We're not waking up every day and willing those things to happen. And so these patterns are running exactly the same way in the background. So wanting to be comfortable is a perfectly normal state of being, because we're seeking to stay in the patterns that we know that have kept us safe up until this point. The only tricky issue with that is that growth actually lies on the other side of our comfort zone. And so growth and expansion, and when people talk about wanting to quantum leap and really move into a big dream or a next level desire that they have for their life, that requires us to be comfortable with discomfort. But the discomfort does not have to be struggle or suffering. Mm. So there's a difference between a state of being that perpetuates the idea that things need to be hard or difficult or painful, but even deeper than that, to me, the word suffering is a state of being that honestly is like this self-inflicted punishment. Mm. Where you need to constantly be in a state of struggle, where you constantly need to somehow be experiencing the pain acutely in order to be grateful or to be in resonance with what you're doing. But it doesn't have to be that way. The truth is that we can grow and expand in radical ways and even experience discomfort without having any of the suffering there at all. And I don't know about you, but I would much prefer to journey on that path and see how great life gets to be, and just how much we can grow and maybe how much discomfort we can handle. And I don't mean that in a way of testing your threshold of pain or anything like that. I mean, no, it's like, how far can you stretch? Because a journey means that the milestones are always shifting. So we'll have goals, we'll achieve the goals, but then we're going to make new goals along the way. So the idea is that we're always evolving, we're always growing. And I don't remember where the quote originates from, but I hear this from my mentors all the time over and over again. They say you're either growing or you're dying. Mm-hmm. It's one or the other, mm-hmm. Just as a human species, as a living organism. You're either growing or you're dying. And so reaching for that discomfort and letting the suffering go means that we can keep evolving and get to see exactly how great it gets to be and what we get to become along the way.
I so love that part. of the discussion that we had. So I definitely wanted to bring that up, and I'm glad that you said it just as wonderfully this time as you did last time. The one thing that we didn't have a conversation about, and I wanted to hold off for this opportunity, is how that might look for someone who's trying to overcome something like what I talk about on the show, racism. Mm-hmm. You know, any ism, in my opinion, and it's, to me it's a fact, it's based on something negative. And like mm-hmm. you were saying with not wanting to wallow in the suffering of it all. And some people, their pain points are positive points. So they tend to want to wallow in that, in the negativity. I know that there are people who are shaking their head saying, oh, I know some people like that, where they look for trauma because maybe somewhere in their life, that's what they were inundated with, the trauma. And so they're actually comfortable in the trauma, which is like a bizarro way of being, but it's possible.
But I understand it completely. So when I was little, one of the things that I became very skilled at was overcoming adversity of all kinds, of all different kinds. And so as I moved into my teenage years, I just started to believe that must be my superpower. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to overcome adversity and to flourish and thrive through adversity and to show people how much you can thrive through the hardest possible struggles. And what did I end up doing is, you know, the law of attraction works both ways. It attracts to you the things you want, but it also attracts to you everything that is the polarity that you focus on. So I magnetized all kinds of struggles and adversity into my life. And then every time I would overcome it, that was another badge of honor I could put on me. And I was covered. I was armored in these badges as I moved through the decades of my life. And I was very, very proud of it. Here's the thing, though, is that's a really painful way of living your life, because it is about this idea that you are trying to survive something. You are trying to prove something. You are seeking through struggle even just to exist and to be. And I know that when it comes to racism and other isms, a lot of people feel that way. See, we're raised with these identities, and I'm not here to question them. I'm just here to say that we're raised with them, and then we put them on like our skin, because they are, right? Like quite literally when it comes to racism. But then we wear them believing that they become the sum total of our being and who we are, because that is how the norms and the systems and structures around us like to make us feel. And that means that we are constantly trying to succeed in standards that were never designed for our success in mind. As a woman of color, I could say they weren't designed with my success in mind. And so what did I do? I spent my whole career trying to fragment myself to fit into these little tiny boxes so that I could be in the room, I could be around the table, I could feel like I was seen, I could feel accepted, I could feel like I belonged. And in the process of that, I was actually shredding and fragmenting who I really am. But we're not taught to actually stand in the truth and the fullness of who we are. And that soul inside of us, truthfully, doesn't have necessarily a gender, doesn't have a racial identity, doesn't have a sexual identity. It is a being. One of the most beautiful activations I love to lead people through is reminding them who and what they really are. And as you elevate into that state, you realize you are this beautiful, limitless, cosmic consciousness that is able to create everything. Like, you are creation, and you get to be creation. And when you elevate your vibration, and we're going to listen to higher love, and there's a purpose to that, because love is a level of vibrational energy. One of my mentors told me that as an acronym for love, and I've never forgotten it. The level of vibrational energy, when we come to every situation, even the ones that cause us suffering and struggle, and we come from a sense and a vibration of love, doesn't have to always be love for the other, but it can be a deep devotion and love to ourselves. That is a vibration that allows us to remember that we are this cosmic consciousness. And when you elevate your vibration from there, you start to see the world in ways where all of these pain points that have hurt us, right, that come like the arrows that we feel hitting us and stabbing us as we're moving through life, they actually all start to fall away. It's like they don't even penetrate you anymore, because you start to understand that you are just so much greater and so much more powerful than that. And then those isms start to become a reality that's lived around you, but they stop becoming an identity or a defining factor of who you are, what you can do, and why you're here.
And I like that, because I think it's important, as we stated earlier, that we have a knowledge of our history, of our cultural identity, of our family identity. But we don't have to remain there. You know, we can experience love of all of who we are. And the essential part of who we are is in everyone else, in everything else, which I was mentioning earlier, on this planet and maybe outside of this planet. So you can transcend the negativities of anything that is put on you by someone. I actually had lunch with, I know we can talk forever, but, and we're going to play Higher Love. We're getting it set up, but I'm going to just say that I was at lunch with someone who stated to another person that while they were in high school, they didn't enjoy themselves very much because people made her feel unworthy of being there, saying that because of her disability, she was very clear. She says she had, you know, a mental disability, and the people in high school would make her feel like she didn't belong there. And so she would not think of that time period as a good time in her life. And she's such a beautiful human being. One thinks, why would anyone do that to a person like that? But then we think kids can be cruel. And, you know, there's that saying. But I think kids try to fit in, right? And if they see other people doing certain things, that they want to become that person. And I guess what the conversation we're having here is, try to be who you are and seek that person within inside of yourself, not outside of yourself, right?
Absolutely. So a lot of times when you're hit by somebody else's state of being and their emotions, so often they're projecting onto you what their own pain and suffering is. So I'm not an expert on bullying, but I was bullied all through middle school pretty relentlessly by people who claim to be friends. And what I understand now is that so much of what they were experiencing and feeling was exactly what you're saying. They actually were quite insecure. They weren't certain of themselves. They needed to feel like they could establish themselves. And one of the ways they could do that was by pointing out to somebody who seemed to be different from who they are. What I would say about that experience of experiencing discomfort is, this beautiful person that you were talking to probably learned how to become really resilient and exponentially grow through the discomfort of not fitting in. And the others likely did not grow as much, yes, because they avoided the discomfort of understanding this beautiful soul,
yes,
and understanding that there is difference and that difference is actually wonderful. And instead, they stayed in a place that was comfortable, that also was a source of pain for other people. And unfortunately, we see this kind of pattern repeated over and over again, not just in our childhood, but in our adulthood as well. And so often, if we can just stop for a moment and even ask the question of, where did that even come from? Why do I even believe that or know that or feel that or experience that? And have I taken a moment to discover if that's actually my truth for me, for myself? We would probably be living in a very different world. There'd be a lot more understanding and compassion if we approach things with curiosity rather than from a feeling of defensiveness or otherness.
Exactly. And I think that's a perfect way for us to now briefly provide our listeners with an uplifting reset, which we're resetting for our roundtable. And get your pen, pencil, whatever you need to get out, your pad, your iPad, or whatever. Because Garrett, after we play this musical interlude for about a minute or so, minute to 2 minutes, he's going to be giving you the information that you can to share with you to get online, maybe take a call with our wonderful Sadia here, and or for you to take part in our pledge drive. Okay, let's play Higher Love by Kygo and Whitney Houston. Listen to these words.
Think about it.
What a throwback, but I don't think I've ever really listened to the lyrics of that. Thank you, Sadia, for sharing that favorite song. Garrett is going to now share with us exactly what we need to do to speak to Sadia. And Sadia, one of the questions I'm going to have you answer, so you on the other side, is why do you love this song so much? So you're going to hold off while Garrett lets us know how the audience or the listeners can, you know, join us.
Yes, to join us and also to bring higher love to WGXC, this beautiful platform as well, with the end of year pledge drive donation. But first, we encourage all to call in, join in this conversation, join the hands, build the bridge of positivity. As I say, area code 518-622-2598 and press option 3. Again, that's area code 518-622-2598, option 3. That will get you on the air. And please, please do join in that way, as well as to donate, you dial that same number, 518-622-2598. You just hit option 2 instead. And we are seeking to expand our studio here in this building on Main Street in Catskill, New York. And our goal is $10,000. So please, please pledge what you can to help reach our goal. WGXC.org/donate. Or that same phone number, 622-2598. And option 2. And you can also send a check as well to WGXC, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13. ACRA, that's ACRA, New York, 12405.
Whoa, I love how you said 5.
Yeah, thank you.
5 made me come alive. Oh, oh, wow. Yeah. I just love that song again. I've listened to Whitney Houston sing that song and many other songs, and I just didn't know those lyrics, what they meant. So, Sadia, what did this song mean to you so that you brought this to my attention?
So I play this song at a lot of my resilience workshops. I have it on loop at the gym. It is a song that matches to me just the vibrational energy of everything that I'm looking to embody. And to me, it just describes everything that I've been searching for and experiencing so perfectly. I mean, if I just read some of the words, just real quick, right? It's, think about it, there must be a higher love down in the heart or hidden in the stars above, right? We're cosmically connected. Without it, life is wasted time. And I think about that. How much time in my life have I wasted being mad about something, resenting something, being stubborn about something? And what could I have been doing in those moments instead? Sharing joy, spreading forgiveness, pulling that person I was mad at really close so they knew how much I love them. Yes. Because maybe they won't be there the next day. You know, yeah, things look bad everywhere in this whole world. What's fair? Do we even know what fair is anymore? We walk blind and we try to see, but we're falling behind in what could be. And that's exactly right.
Right.
What can be is the best, most limitless versions of ourselves. But we become them through vibrations of love and forgiveness, not just for other people, but for ourselves. And the truth is, in every moment that we've been sad, mad, angry, frustrated, othered, outcast, there's a part of ourself that stopped loving ourself just a little bit more.
Yes.
So it's not just about how we're feeling about others. It actually is all about how we're feeling about ourselves. And if we can just share that frequency of love and kind of get over some of the other stuff that's really ego-driven, honestly, I just think there's something more to life there.
Yeah, and I want to bring out those things that, I want to keep it light, but I think it's good to keep it real too. And some of those things that we have to deal with right now in our lives has to deal with real issues, our pocketbooks, right? How much we can afford to pay for, to buy. And we may have those negative feelings of resentment towards the person or people or administration or whomever that we hold in contempt because of this problem. But like what you said, the way to remove those problems, not from really being there, but I think what you're saying is we own our future by how we treat our present.
Yes, and we keep ceding our power. See, we keep giving the power away. So yes, the world around us can feel really chaotic, really uncertain, really unstable. That doesn't mean that your inner world has to feel that way. That doesn't mean that your family and your home has to feel that way. And that really is about an inner state of being. It's about a place that you can get to where no matter what is happening around you, you have this deep sense of trust and certainty in yourself. You know you got this, no matter what comes at you. And when you live from that place, you can actually respond instead of reacting. You can create instead of imagining that life is happening for you. And it just changes your entire perspective on things. And the things that are out there in the news that are frankly intended to energetically trap us in these looping cycles of fear and suffering, stop having any power over you. Because you wake up every day believing that you can create exactly what you want. And you just find your way to get there. And in its highest vibration, getting there is not going to mean needing to tear anyone else down, because that's just not what the vibration of love is. You get there by being the most expansive version of yourself, and you invite other people to come along and join you in that frequency.
And I think when we're using terms like frequency, and there are certain people, like I said, there's may not know the language, but they know what it feels like. I say, discount the language and go with what you know feels good, right?
And your body is your compass, so you'll know immediately. When we get to a place, and one of the reasons why I started with a little bit of the lighthearted, I bet all of the working parents are running around out of their minds right now, is because that creates a state of nervous system dysregulation, which is something I do a deep amount of work on. Nervous system dysregulation cuts you off from your intuition. It cuts you off from your inner knowing. It keeps your body in survival mode. And when you're in that place, the only thing you can do is react. And so we have a lot of people right now who are in that loop of reacting. But if you can take a moment to just allow yourself the grace and the spaciousness to think, what is one thing I could do that would just make this feel a lot better? Maybe small, a conversation with someone you love, a quiet moment, a really great meal, a hug with your kids, a night with not watching any news. It could be anything. But when you give yourself permission to have those moments, then you start to take your power back. When you start to take your power back, you start to calm your nervous system. You connect back into your intuition. When you do that, all of your inner codes, which is your genius, which is the exact manual of how to fulfill your destiny that is already inside you, starts to light up. And then you just know what to do because your body tells you what feels good for it in that moment and what doesn't. And that includes the people you're around, the environments you expose yourself to, the relationships you have, the conversations you carry, and your vocabulary. So even the words we use are really important. Transformational vocabulary is really important. So, you know, if you think about a TV antenna, right? How in the old days, I'm aging myself now, but for those generations who remember TVs with antennas.
And the knobs.
Where you would move the knobs, where you would tune into the station.
Oh my goodness.
You can continue, Sadia.
We have a caller coming in.
But, oh, yay. Okay.
But I mean, I didn't want to cut you off, Sadia. We just got excited over here.
Someone tuned into our frequency.
Good evening, WGXC 90.7 FM caller. You are on the air.
Please state your name.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Quinn. And how you say happy every day, but Donald Trump with negativism, you know?
I can understand that you're saying that, you know, the politics or, you know, a politician who doesn't do things as you would prescribe them to do would make you feel a certain way. So is this a question that you want to make a statement about to our guest, Sadia, to talk about how you might feel about that?
Well, yeah. Okay. Yes, because it's hard to stay happy every day, you know, with the same thing going on and on and on. But Donald Trump making everything so bad for everybody, you know? How do you stay happy, you know?
Sadia, can you respond to that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn. We'll have our guests speak to that right now.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Sadia, can you hear me? Give us one moment so we can join you.
We're not actually meant to be happy every moment of the day. And happiness is a moment. So what I would say is that what you're seeking is not actually be happy all the time. What you're seeking is to be able to live and create your life from a place of joy. So joy is actually a state of being and something that can lift your vibration and change your life. Happiness are the moments that you sometimes will experience as a result of creating your life from a foundation of wanting to be joyful. And joy is something that you can experience at any moment. So when someone asks me, Sadia, what is joy to you? I say, for me very personally, joy is that moment when you're suspended between laughter. Because if you think about laughter, to me, laughter is ultimate freedom. It's so spacious. It's so open. There is a moment in every day where I could find a reason to engage in laughter with my children, with my coworkers, with my partner, with my family. And so happiness and that state of being is not about allowing what's happening in the outside world to control how you're feeling inside. That sense of joy, or even what we call happiness, is a state of being when you feel completely whole and you belong and you have the sense of love within yourself, that even if it seems like the world out there is chaotic and not in your favor, it's not going to alter your state of being. It's not going to make you feel any less worthy, any less deserving. And when you really know that you're here and you're meant to make it, that you're capable, that you were never brought here to fail, then no matter where the wind blows, like a really tall and mighty oak tree, you get to stand strong because you're so deeply rooted into a knowing and a trust within yourself that no matter what is happening outside, you can always find that center and that calm. And from there, you are able to create moments of happiness and joy no matter what is happening. And I promise you that that is a state of being that's true, but you won't find it out there outside of you. it's something that we start to cultivate deep inside of ourselves.
So what I'm getting from you and what I'm understanding from the caller is you may find some person, in this case, it was a politician, whose actions you do not make you feel good. Or, you know, it could be a family member or anyone. But you do not have to stay rooted in that feeling. You can then choose to find yourself and decide to focus on yourself and what you can do to further your goals. One of the things that
I offer a quick practice of how someone can do that in real time?
That's what I was going to ask you, but we do have 1 minute. Yes.
So let's just say someone, anyone, it could be the politician, it could be your family member, someone did something and it got under your skin. It didn't make you feel good. It altered your mood. It altered your state of being. And what I want to say is that any emotion will only stay in your body for 90 seconds unless you attach a story to it and invite it to stay. So when you get in that moment, in that immediate moment, when you're feeling it, if you can just allow yourself to take a few deep breaths, say whatever you need to really fast in those 90 seconds, and then just let it go, the entire emotion of that irritability, that outrage, that frustration that you were feeling at whatever happened will literally leave your body. The only reason it will stay, and your body is the barometer that is helping you know what emotions you're feeling, right? It's all working together, your emotions, your nervous system, your mind. And we don't have enough time to get into all of that. But what I'm saying is that when it releases, your emotions will naturally shift to whatever you put your focus on to next. So if you stay focused on it, or if you attach a story to it, if you in that moment say that is going to become the thing that determines how I feel, then you're inviting it to stay. And what I tell people is, don't invite it to stay. Allow it to flow through and flow by, because then you can observe it and you can go, I really didn't like that. But you can also let it go and you can come back to whatever it is you're doing in that moment. Because unless that politician or unless that situation is right in front of you, like demanding your attention, so often we're allowing things like that are happening on the news or that are happening out there to influence every moment that we're living in that moment. But in that moment, we can choose to do something else instead.
Wonderful. I'm so glad that you gave that hands-on what to do when, you know, that situation takes over you. We are out of time, Sadia. But I know that there are people who are going to want to talk to you. I want to let everyone know that the Amara Chaudhry, whose word of wisdom I mentioned, was a Pakistani-American. I like giving a shout out to people's ethnicity. I like to recognize all ethnicity and identities. So I wanted to make sure that was clear. And Sadia, I think I have all of your contacts on WGXC 90.7 FM online. And that's where people would go to provide sustenance for the station. If you like more of what you heard today and more of all the wonderful programmers on the station, that's where you would give them the funds that you feel comfortable with giving. We take everything, $5 up to $10,000. Hey, just throw in the whole kit and caboodle. That would bring us lots of joy here during the holiday season. Also, you can find a lot more about Sadia on www.kimberlyirwin.me, if you can remember my name. And right now we're going to play you Spiritual Peace and Happiness, which is by Lenspot. And for those of you who don't like AI, oh well, that's where it's coming from. Thank you, Sadia, so much. You want to say goodbye to the listeners real quick?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for being here. It was my pleasure to share this hour with you, and I hope you'll stay in touch.
Garrett, last words.
Peace, love, and positivity. And as you say, Kimberly,
love, beauty, joy.
Close your eyes, breathe it in. Let the stillness begin. Feel the light in you.